where you come in the presence of God and you get into a union with God. You get in one spirit with the Lord. And in that one spirit with the Lord, where He is truly the vine and you are the branches. And those who are in the Lord are one spirit in the Lord. There are scriptures that say that. And so you're entwined with the Lord. And all your weaknesses are exchanged for His strength. And His strength is deposited into you. There is an infusion that takes place. An infusion of His energy, of His life force into you. That is why when you finish the waiting period, it is like a jump into mounting up your wings like an eagle. Because there's so much of His life and energy in you that you leap forth like an eagle. And yet, that can be the most painful part. All the other parts are very active. Flying, running, walking. But the most painful part is the waiting. Jesus describes that waiting period in John 15, verse 1 to 5. He says, He is the vine, we are the branches. Every branch in Him that bears fruit, He prunes or cuts, so that it will bear more fruit. Every branch in Him that does not bear fruit, He takes away. Now notice in John 15, verse 1 to 5, that both the bad branch that doesn't bear fruit, and the good branch is dealt with. He says, if you bear fruit, you will be still pruned so that you will bear more fruit. There is a pruning process that takes place at the waiting, which is why I say that the word waiting on God ties to being crucified with Christ. Where you have a position where you meditate upon Christ, Christ in you and you in Christ. It is an experience. It is a revelation. It is a prayer point where you are entwined with God. You're gathered together with Him in the Spirit. And there's an infusion of His life that takes place. In fact, I will go as far as to say this. Christians who never learn to wait on God will forever in their life be living by their own strength. Now, you don't want to do that, nor do I. But yet Christians are doing that. If only every businessman in town realized that spending time with God is not wasting time. And no matter how professional or how skillful you are, we need to realize that spending time with God is not time wasted. If you're a businessman, I'll say it this way, it's time invested on the best investment you ever have in your entire life. It has rewards both in eternity and materially in your business. And yet a lot of people don't spend time with God. You ask the average Christian, how much time do they spend with God? Some 10 minutes, some 5 minutes. Why? They cannot afford the time. I'm busy. I got this to do, that to do, this to do. If only they realize that the time that they give to God is going to produce more energy than they ever need in doing whatever they want to do. Because it's an energizing time. And make this decision in your life. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. If you're not spending enough time with God, and if you're not waiting on God enough, you're running on your own steam. Would you want to do that for the rest of your life? You could live 120 years. And if you run on your own steam, you will never fulfill God's will. Because with your own steam, you barely touch the fringe of what you could do in Him. But a moment in Him, and letting Him fill your life. In 3 years, Jesus finished all the work He needs to finish. And think about that. Sometimes ministries in 30 years cannot accomplish what Jesus did in 3 years. Why the difference? The source of the energy. Because they're running on their own steam. I believe in evangelism, but evangelism by the power of God and God's strength. I believe in church growth, but church growth by the Spirit of God. Then you're just always, all the time, you're just relaxing, worshiping God. Every time your yoke is hard and the burden heavy, it is because it's not the yoke of Jesus. The yoke that our Master and Lord Jesus Christ says is a yoke, He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So if your yoke is hard and your burden is heavy, somebody must have put their yoke on you. Or you could have taken some other oxen's yoke that doesn't belong to you. It belongs to that buffalo on left field. Doesn't belong to you. Because when you take His yoke, it's easy. It's light. It's refreshing. You know, serving God is the most wonderful thing. It doesn't tire you. It refreshes you. You could spend time with God, doing things for God. And if you're doing it right, it refreshes you. You come out always stronger, not weaker. And so, the word kwawa means to be gathered together with Him. To be entwined together with Him. And it's a moment of exchange. His strength for your strength. His righteousness for your own unrighteousness. His holiness for your own unworthiness. His beauty for your ugliness. His garment of praise for your garments of mourning. There's an exchange that takes place. When that takes place, you will mount out your wings like an eagle. Clear vision. You will be able to run and do some things powerfully. Why run? Because sometimes when the anointing of God is there, you got to do things very fast before the anointing leaves. But when it leaves, you can do what you want. It doesn't do anything. So you flow with the Spirit of God. Then there's a time of walking. How does that tie to the New Testament? Look over in the New Testament, in the book of Ephesians. And you find all the verbs in the book of Ephesians tying up to those verbs in Isaiah 40 verse 31. In Ephesians, you see in chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2, and here is where we are in Christ. It speaks about us being in Christ in chapter 2 verse 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Now take note of the word here in verse 6. That is the word sit together with Him. So we are seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Then when you look over here in chapter 4, and of course it covers chapter 4 and 5 too. And talks about the one body in Christ. And then he tells us here in verse 30, he began to talk about the Holy Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Then in chapter 5 verse 1, there's a therefore in verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. Now you're working out your life. And it says in verse 2, walk in love as Christ also has loved us. So there you are seated in heavenly places with Christ. Now he tells you to walk in love. And of course we know that's not possible until in verse 18. Do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit of God. So there is a filling of the Spirit of God, what I call an impartation. And then they sit in the heavenly places, walk in love, filled with the Spirit. When you look over at chapter 6, the verb has changed. The verb now changes in verse 11. Here's spiritual warfare. Chapter 6 of Ephesians verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, and what's the word? Verb, to stand. Stand, therefore, in verse 14. Look at how many times they emphasize the verb stand. So in Ephesians 2, seated in heavenly places. Ephesians 4 and 5, walk in love, filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 6, stand. Now, here's a question. How do you do all those things at the same time? Right. Tell me anyone who can stand at the same time as sit. Walk at the same time as running. You can't. So what do? Those things are placed in a cycle. And the cycle is the same as in Ephesians chapter, as in Isaiah 40 verse 31. When you put it together, waiting on God is like, in the New Testament, sitting in heavenly places. It is there that you exchange His strength for your strength. It's there that you are found in Him. And you are glorifying Him. You are made alive in Him. You feel His life within you. Seated in heavenly places. Flying like an eagle, mounting up your wings like eagle, is like being filled with the Spirit. You're in a different dimension. Be filled with the Spirit, He says. Because only when you're filled with the Spirit, can you walk in the Spirit or run in the Spirit. And then, you have run and not be weary. Now the running part to me equates with the walking part in Ephesians. And in Ephesians it says walk, because Ephesians emphasizes one more part, the word stand. Stand. And so when you put it all together, you realize one thing. You could take your Christian life from Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31. There is a time of waiting, a time of mounting up wings like eagle in the presence of God. There's a time for running and there's a time for walking. Then you repeat the cycle again. If you take it from Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, there's a time where you got to learn what it is to be seated in heavenly places. And then you got to learn how to be filled with the Spirit. And then you learn how to walk in love. And you learn how to stand against the enemy forces. Those are all different verbs and different posture and positions in the Spirit of God. And so in the cycle of Christianity, I call that, in the cycle of our life, everything that you do in your life, there will be a time of waiting. Every project, every endeavor you have in God, or every job that He gave to you to do, or every mission, or every task, has the four cycles involved. You cannot do it without first starting to wait on Him. Then being anointed by Him or being filled with His strength. Then you begin to run and carry out those things. Then you begin to walk and stand as you carry out those things that He wants you to. And that's all the cycle of bringing forth Christ in our life. And it ties to all that we have covered so far. And sometimes people ask, well, how do I learn to stand, walk, and everything? All you have to do is learn the first one. The rest will come naturally. Because there will be so much energy of God in you that sometimes you feel like a little eaglet. You look over the edge, you're scared to jump. You've never flown before. And you don't know what this feels like. on some things, but you got to launch off in faith. But if you got enough of waiting, enough of being seated in the heavenly places, there will be so much energy in you that it will literally be like the mother eagle pushing the eaglet off the nest, or like God's wind blowing you out. And then you say, wow, you suddenly realize you could soar like an eagle. And you're filled with the Spirit, then everything else will just come easily.